Welcome to the Path of Power with Galexis, the group of many who speak as one. And here to introduce you to Galexis is the channel, Ginger Metro.
Hello, and welcome to the Path of Power with Galexis. My name is Ginger Metro, and I channel Galexis. Galexis is a group of beings from many places and levels who speak as one. If you're not acquainted with Galexis, if this is your first time, please feel free to check out our website, galexisspirit.com. I've been channeling Galexis since 1988, that's over 20 years now, and throughout this time, Galexis has always consistently urged us all to take back our power from anyone or anything that includes ideas, governments, gurus, people that we know, religions, etc., that we've given power to make our choices of power for ourselves, and to always love and to respect who we truly are. Hence, we've called this show The Path of Power. Because when we take our power and own our divinity and who we truly, truly are, we can dream a new reality for ourselves, those we love, and for the world. The Path of Power is every first and third Monday. So next week will be Tall Cat Psychic in this same time spot. To know more about Galexis, you can always go to our website, and if you do, sign up for the free newsletter. And please check out the calendar and the workshops that we have lined up. We have something new that is coming into our calendar, into the L.A. area, and that's every Wednesday night. Galexis is going to do very inexpensively evenings where whoever shows up can get healings, can get energizing, can get transformations and downloads of codes and all sorts of really great things. So if you're in the L.A. area, do check it out and sign up for the newsletter so that you can get all the details on how to go there. And our most popular workshop title probably so far is Healing Your Relationship with Money, probably because, of course, this economic crisis makes us all have to review that particular important relationship. And magic seems to happen for those people who get that CD. So if you want to bring more magic of money into your life, then you can order it there on the website. Now I'm going to head into trance. Galexis will be with you shortly. They will present a message, and then they will open the show for questions, and you can call in on any topic that you want. The phone number is 877-876-5227 and 888-815-9756. Now, in order to go into trance, I'm going to be quiet for a few seconds. And so don't be concerned, don't be alarmed. It's not like, you know, the station has cut it off or the show has gone dead. It's just me disappearing for a little while. So I'm going to say goodbye until next time. That's 2 weeks from now. And now, here's Galexis. So I'm going to be quiet. Bye-bye. And the next thing you hear is going to be Galexis. All right, we are here, and we are Galexis, and welcome to the Path of Power. Today we're going to speak about emerging from the dark into the light. The reason we, of course, mention that is because at this timing on the planet, in this country of the United States, and also in the countries all around the world, people are losing money, they're losing their value of their assets, there is a huge economic crunch, people are losing jobs, there is a sense of chaos, uncertainty, people don't know what's coming, people don't know how it's bad it's going to get, when it's going to turn around. The ramifications are going through all the currencies of the world, various currencies are thinking of devaluing their currencies. all sorts of things are happening, things that are going to cause a lot of chaos, a lot of change, a lot of unknown. And, of course, when a person is facing the unknown personally and in their own individual lives, people are frightened. Change is always a bit scary. Change is always a bit unnerving. And for some people, extremely difficult. Because, you know, when you go through a crisis, when you have to make major changes, whether you really want to or not, there is a sense of losing that comfort of familiarity, that safety and the security of a sense of order or a sense of control that you might have had. So in a way, the whole planet now is experiencing, the people on the planet, of course, experiencing this sense of loss of control and not really knowing where it's going to come, the solutions are going to come, where the ideas are going to come, what they're going to do about it. So how can you personally survive this economic crisis? How can you personally survive the dark chaos that is here, that darkness that seems to be covering like a blanket everything that you thought you knew and so forth and all the knowing? Where are you going next? How do you know where you're going to go? These kinds of questions are on most people's minds. We're also going to discuss briefly a personal detox period that you're going through right now. It's almost as if this is an aftermath period, like you've eaten some really bad food, and now you've got to get it out of your system. You got to clean it out so that your body can restore, recover, and head forward. And you're doing that not just on a physical basis. We're not saying that you've been eating a lot of bad food, but on an emotional and spiritual basis. The first thing that we would suggest as far as personally surviving this economic crisis is to recognize that you are, by your very nature, divine. You are a light being who's taking on experience in the physical body, on the physical plane, at this time. And because of that, you have chosen, if you look at it this way, from that perspective as a light being, to work with reality, to work with consciousness, not just your own, but also to participate in what's going on globally. What's going on globally? Yes, it's a dark chaos. It's the unknown. There's a lot of transformational change. But in a sense, this is really what you came to work with. What is amazing is that as deep and as dark as it gets, how scary it can be, how difficult can understand where in the world to go next and how to do it, we would suggest that there is a purpose in this. And you are here to participate in this as your purpose, as well as the planetary purpose. You see, you have a mission. You have a personal mission of self-realization, which takes as many lifetimes as you choose to play with. Then you have a mission that for many of you is known as the culmination of your lifetimes. It's the culminating lifetime. It's the lifetime where you ascend to the level of being able to make a powerful impact on your reality, to be able to change the reality in alignment with what you choose in your power, your light, all right? This can be a second mission, more like a global mission, more like a planetary mission, a mission of consciousness where you share what you learn with others. The opportunity right now is that the old money systems have gone broke. They're falling apart. The banks are barely holding it together. They're stuck with all these, you know, foreclosed houses, and they can't put them on the market all at once. They're sitting there waiting, hoping, with their fingers crossed, hoping that somehow or another they're going to get a little value out of it. There's so much just waiting, waiting, waiting. There's so much chaos in the banking system, so much chaos in the lending, borrowing, money systems, so much loss of value, of portfolios everywhere, and investments. So much crashing, burning. It's an opportunity to enter into the void that this creates for you personally, not only to build a new level of financial life for yourself, but to very creatively and from a spiritual point to create a new paradigm around money, a new paradigm around the financial system, a new paradigm of approach. The opportunity is huge right now. It's time to jump in, get your feet wet, get into it for yourself to become more wealthy, for you to create more abundance and prosperity for yourself, not in the old habitual ways, but from a new consciousness. So that you can share this with other people, so you can be the inspiration, so you can be the light that other people see and can be lifted by, and they can be drawn to you. Some of you already are there. Some of you are already doing this. And knowing that you are creating something new, yes, maybe not by your very individual self from your perception, but in a sense, being part of a network of light beings doing this all around the planet. As you to do this, we would suggest, first of all, it's important to befriend money. It's important to make money as light and as free and easy for you to experience, to have, to receive, to give, to lose, to gain, as it is for you to enjoy a beautiful flower by the roadside as you drive by. In other words, to not have a big heavy-duty charge on it, a big weight on money. Money is so, it's so important. Don't live your life around money. If you take your power back from money, if you allow money to work with you as your friend, as your ally, rather than you being money's servant, money's slave, being dependent on money, needing money, greedy for money, insecure about money, feeling scarcity consciousness. You see, you can make a big difference in your personal life. You can see magic happen. You can see things turn around for you if you befriend money. As you do that, money, of course, representing a very abstract concept, it's a sense of value. And it changes according to the mood, according to circumstances, based on your economic system, which is based on scarcity and not abundance, and based on fear and not on love and safety. This whole system money system is where money equals certain value. You have taken, as part of your culture, a perspective that the more money you have, the more valuable you are, or the more value you have. But you have a lot of values besides money. Money's just one. You have capacity to love and to receive love. You have friends. You have interesting things to do. You have philosophies. You have all sorts of great things. All you have sorts of resources of knowledge. Just think about the internet. You've got all sorts of resources and ways to bring together whatever you need to create whatever reality you choose. Money's not the only key ingredient. You have your creativity. You have your imagination. You need to build your self-image as valuable. You are the one of value, not money. That's an external aspect that changes according to this and that and the other. But you, intrinsically, within yourself, you are the valuable one. You see, this opportunity for a new paradigm comes only from a person who can own their own value and who has an empowered perspective about their life. And if you have your own value and an empowered perspective and allow yourself to play with all the resources, mental, emotional, and physical at your command, you will be able to dream a future dream a vision of the future that can be unique for you, but can also be a new paradigm, a new way of being, where there's no struggle, there's no fighting, there's no necessary sense of vicious cutthroat competition, where there's no fear, a sense of moving forward into a new world, a new reality. You can dream it. You can imagine it. Now, at this particular time, there are many of you who are letting go of things, and it may be money, unfortunately, and we feel for you in that regard, because that's scary to lose money, because you sense you are losing value, you're losing your capacity. But you see, you give money so many qualities it doesn't have. Money is not your freedom. Money is not your power. Money is not your enjoyment of life. There's so much that you can do that's fun and enriching in your life that does not require money. But there's a lot of loss going on. And part of this is that in order to create something new, you have this belief system that you have to destroy the old. And while it's happening economically for your country and for the world, we do want to point out that personally it's happening for you in your own unique way. You may be letting go of relationships, you may be moving, you may have lost a job, you may be losing money, you may be doing something, getting rid of what's in the past. You need to. It is a detox time, because if you don't let go of what's in the past and you dream a new future, you're going to take the unfinished business of your past and stick it into your future. You're going to kind of take all those unresolved angers and unresolved emotions, and what are you going to encounter in the future? More of same. Clear them. Be done with them. Heal them. Come to peace with things. Come to peace with money. Come to peace with loss or failure, or even, you know, anything devastating, even a loss of health, whatever it is, come to peace with it. Come to terms with it. Get back into your spiritual self so that you can dream this new future. You'll never go back to the order that you had before, to that sense of understanding of you knew how whatever worked the way it did, and you had the same reaction mechanisms to what the stimuli that were in your environment, and that you had the same type of relationships with people. You're not going to go back there, or at least you don't really want to. The way you used to be, don't go there. Don't even desire to go there, because you don't want to carry that forward. Detox it now. Get yourself to a therapist, if that works for you, to clear angers, to clear old rages, to clear out stuff. All right? So it's important so that you can be clear to dream something that's authentically new, not just a pretty picture, whereas you're covering up the stench of old unfinished business and pretending it's not there. Very important to detox. So if you are detoxing physically, emotionally, mentally, you're on track. It may be painful. It may be difficult. But know that in a way, it is all part of this transition and part of your mission. And turn it around. Make it worth something for you. Don't suffer for nothing. Let yourself learn from it. Let yourself release all your old habits and patterns related to whatever it is you're having to let go of, and create a new relationship with it. You can be part of the future. You can be part of the dream. This is very important. This is why we're putting together the Wednesday night events in Los Angeles, so that those who are willing to come and just be present with us, we will work with you. We will work with you on any level that you ask. You can call on us in your meditation. We generally come as a column of light, and we will surround you. Give us your past. Give us stuff from your past. We can lift a lot of it. Some of it you'll have to process and learn and understand, and very much come into a place of forgiveness for yourself, and and releasing any judgments you have about yourself or any judgments or blame you have on others. All of that would stick you. If you keep up blame and judgment, if you feel not responsible, you want something else to be responsible for your issue, you're not going to live that glorious future. You're not going to live the glorious new life in the new world. So detox that stuff. Love yourself. Support yourself. Do not judge yourself. It is you that's going to make the difference. All right. So, at this point, we would like to open up the line for anyone to call on any subject. And the phone number here is 877-876-5227. So give us a call, and if that number doesn't work, 888-815-9756. All right, then we will talk with you, and we will share with you what you're interested in, and perhaps even so, you personally can utilize this opportunity, and we can move forward. We can do something together. And anything that you ask, it's going to help everyone else on this, who's listening on the show, recognizing everyone's in it together. It's the opportunity, you see? So give us a call, and you who are listening, know that you are part of this solution. All right, we have our first caller. Hello.
Hi, Galaxis.
Hello, welcome.
How are you?
Very good, dear one.
Good.
What would you like to discuss this day?
I am definitely going through a big detox period.
All right.
I have been on and off in financial crisis for about 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And coming to a crunch moment. However, I feel that I am on the other side of it mostly.
Mm-hmm. Good, good.
And have created a new foundation. But I still am in that moment where it's very, very uncomfortable.
Oh, yes.
And
because you don't see the physical manifestation of it yet, right?
No.
You're feeling it, though, within you, yes?
Yes, well, I've done what I think was probably the real reason I needed to, or that I chose to unconsciously go into crisis in the first place, which is get myself to the point where I was willing to put my creativity out into the world.
Yes.
Because it's probably my greatest resource, and I have sort of secreted it away and done it in private, and it certainly has yielded results for me, even financially. But now it needs to be more of a flow, and it needs to be my primary focus in terms of work.
Mm-hmm.
And
what do you? What kind of form does it take? Your creativity, is it, say, you know, art or music, or what form are you using?
Well, I've done many forms. It's been music. It's been writing.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, what has been coming to me is, because I'm a project manager, I've done a lot of work in construction, remodeling, and landscaping. And right now, what's opening up, and I've done that privately, but now it's opening up into landscaping and doing that for other people, project managing remodels.
Fantastic.
And
yes.
Landscaping. And I think that's great for me because it's working with the elements and being able to create beauty, which is a primary focus for me. And
well, one of the aspects that we see that part of your gift
mm-hmm.
is that you have a very wide range of creative ability.
I do.
And so one of the things that we see here is that even doing the landscaping with your creative abilities and so forth is not that it's not enough, but there seems to us that for balance, you're going to want maybe one or two other kinds of outlets for your creative energy. In other words, we sense you're going to be pulling in multiple sources, multiple channels.
Right. Well, that's one of the reasons I called myself or decided to put myself in the category of being a project manager, because I can do many things, and I felt like project managing was an easy way to communicate to people that it doesn't have to be just that, just one arena. Yeah. But also writing has been opening up recently, and I've been going for quite some time, and also real estate. I love real estate, and that's actually a field that if I was able to get into the flow of that, it has the capacity to pull me out of the hole that I'm in financially.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. So do you have a question in particular?
Well, maybe you're sensing that I'm getting a couple different directions. I'd like to get specific about what directions you think would be...
Well, what you've started here is excellent.
Pardon?
What you've started is excellent.
Okay.
All right. And this is going to... what we sense, it's going to expand.
Okay.
You know, by word of mouth, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that kind of thing. And also by your persona. Your persona is very, in a sense, it enlists from other people a sense of security in your knowledge.
Okay.
So people can feel right away that they trust that you know what you're doing. Even
right.
if you don't. So that's, you've got that working for you very well.
Yeah.
And so, because as a creative person, every project or every circumstance you take on is a big growth curve, in a way, of
yes.
discovering more of what you can do.
Yes, yes.
And that's really just right for you.
Yeah, it is. There's
right.
always a new frontier.
Now, we would suggest at this time, from what we can see, it's good to focus on this one first.
Right.
All right. So that you have a niche to focus on, just to kind of bring and draw energy to.
Right.
All right. And just to kind of get in connection with. We also would suggest doing more consistent work around really getting comfortable with money. Because
mm-hmm.
you and money have had a strained relationship now for a while.
Right. It's been a very wide range for a long time.
That's right. Highs and lows, and there can be some extremes in there, which gives you gave you a certain sense of instability with it. And so your relationship with it is needs to remain flexible, but you need to have a certain sense of knowing where money and you stand with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So we would recommend, if you haven't already gotten it, perhaps you might want to get the healing your relationship with money topic.
I have it, yeah.
Oh, good. So just keep listening to that meditation. You can put it in the background. You can play it in the background during the day, because there's a resonance that comes with that.
Okay.
There's an energy that comes with that. Just kind of keeps bubbling up things that are... that are very positive and kind of pull things to you. There's a little bit more detox for you to do.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And it seems that the situations that you have, as far as the past that you were letting go of and so forth, you have let go, but there seems to be some kind of residual kind of stress or emotional issue there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would recommend that you go through the six circumstances, and for all those people involved that you have had situations with and so on, to do more personal clearing. It's in a sense of really letting go, forgiving, just clearing and clearing, even though you've already done that, we sense. But it just seems to us that there's a part of you that just kind of is pushing it out of your consciousness. And it's a pushing, and you don't want to do that. You want to just kind of let it go naturally.
Right. I mean, today I was talking with a friend and came to a sense that there's a part of me that just thinks that I should pay for, number one, having had it be so good and easy for a number of years in my life, and also also having made enough mistakes so that I've put myself in the position I am in now, which is very, very precarious financially, even though I think I've turned the corner with the crisis and I'm on the up.
Yes, you have. You have. But you did lose a certain sense of safety with money.
Absolutely.
And so you don't trust money to be there right now. You want it to be there. You're moving in that direction, but you're still not really trusting it as your friend, right? But that's because we think that what has done and has been done is that there's still little threads, there's still emotional stress there, there's some kind of stress there. Now, part of why you went through all of this stuff, part of from the maybe the quote-unquote higher perspective on why you would go through so much of an extended personal change over about money and issues around finances and so forth, had to do with a certain impatience with yourself and impatience with your reality. There was a sense of feeling like enough already. I need to, you know, get going further. I need more. I need faster. I need it bigger. I can't let myself come beneath a certain level. And there was this pressure that you must always continue making it bigger and bigger. I would suggest that this is a residual piece of ego, right? And so that the ego is saying, no, I'm not going to eat any humble pie. I'm not going to get flexible about it. I've got to, you know, it's got to be something big. I've got to get money in a hurry. And so there'll be a time pressure kind of thing from this aspect of your ego, right? So we would suggest heal that one as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay,
so that's something left from the past where you felt that you were required to be very important and that everybody needed to see this. Now, you do have a certain charisma. You do have a certain sense of radiance, of value, that when you're around people, they just pick up on it and they just find it rather attractive. They're drawn to you.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Utilize it that way. But in the past, you did do some ego stuff with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that to make yourself feel like you're, you know, on top of things, and you were at times in the past judgmental. The residues of that, you know, have almost gone, but there still is a certain sense of shutting down some of the emotional energies which need to be just a little bit more cleaned out, a little bit more healed, and you know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
okay.
Because we sense that while you have made the transition and you have a idea about the new paradigm and the new way you're going to create something, there is still that it's while you're in the void here, you still haven't really shifted over. Yes, you have made the change. You've pivoted. You're looking in a different direction, much, much better than what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But the new paradigm that you're stepping into, you need to be really, really clean of that.
Right.
Right now, we just sense that it's just this emotional stuff. There's some letting it go and loving yourself and letting go of any kind of like judgments about yourself that are still residual. We know you've worked on that too and let that go too. But just to keep that up so that you stay in that, in a sense of flow of energy, not necessarily money yet, but you want to have your emotional flow really going. Right now that your emotional energy is kind of disjointed. It's not in flow. Now, conceptually, you're in flow. And financially, it's not far away. You can be in flow.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. And once you're in flow for a few months, you'll notice it'll kick into a momentum and it'll just start growing by itself.
Okay. So do you think real estate is a good path for me?
Yeah, you have a bit of a challenge to get into it at this moment, but yes.
Well, actually, more as an agent, more as I actually have someone who has been working in distressed properties for years, and so it's a big time for that.
Mm-hmm, sure, yes.
So it's more like putting people together and giving people the benefit of my experience and helping them transition out of properties that aren't going to work for them.
And mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you're very good at that, and you have a good time doing it.
Yeah, I do.
You do. The thing is though, you're going to have two or three different channels of income coming in, and that's probably going to be one of them.
Okay, right.
But we don't see that one present right at the moment.
Right.
Energetically, the one with the landscaping is present.
Right.
It's happening right now.
Right, yes.
You know, and so there's, in a sense, it's showing that your manifestation, your tangible manifestation of reality, is activating in that channel right now, and that needs to be built up into a bit more of a momentum. Then you can just shift right over into something else while that momentum continues and build somewhere else.
Right.
And we would see that not for another few months.
Okay.
Maybe, you know, three, four months, something like that.
Okay. I mean, I do have a big pile of debt behind me, and...
Yeah, we know that's a big pressure.
Yeah, it is. And so I've been looking at the option of bankruptcy,
mm-hmm.
which I definitely want to be free of the debt, and I think I've worked through it enough, the process of considering bankruptcy, to the point where I said... I really did look at it and think I'd be willing to go there, and I think my choice is to not do it and to try to do something intermediary aside from also trying to keep up impossible levels of payments with the resources I have now.
Right.
But
why did you choose not to, considering that you were... What was the ultimate factor that cinched it for you that this is why I'm not going to?
It just doesn't feel honorable, right, respectful for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it'd be very hard for me to swallow emotionally, and
right, yes, it's a bit almost to a certain extent. Again, that little residue piece of ego we were talking about would be rather, there would be a kind of a humiliation, or there'd be a certain sense of failure or embarrassment or humble pie kind of thing, and that just is not part of the image that you want to hold of yourself.
No, not really. I mean, I would prefer just to be able to get the flow going and then just pay it off. But it is a lot of pressure. I mean, so
it is a lot of pressure, and you do need to get that the response to that pressure, in a sense, cleared. And that's a hard one because it's an ongoing pressure.
Right.
So you have to work ongoingly to clear the reactions that can be limiting for you, that can be negative or could be stressful, because ultimately, if you don't do that, if you don't get enough money going right away, you know, your body's going to really suffer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, once your body suffers, that really... you know, reduces your capacity.
Right. So you don't think that it would be more freeing for me in the big picture to do it?
It probably would. It'd probably take the stress off if you could deal with the self-image thing. If you could deal with all that sense of that you didn't do the right thing, or the sense of kind of resignation and all the kind of energies that go with that. But what we would suggest is that in your imagination, go ahead and do it just as a visualization, like a meditation, and go through all the personal, emotional things that you would sense that you would go through and clear them. Because if you can do that, you will start to be free of whether you do it or not do it.
Right.
And then that choice is a choice of power rather than a choice based out on stress and being maybe pushed into a corner or not, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that would also, as we're looking at your energy field, clear up this whole thing about, what we were talking about, wrapping up those emotional loose ends. And it would do that. That would actually include what we had mentioned earlier.
Okay.
And would really give you a freedom so that either way, you're free. Either way, you're okay with yourself.
Right.
You see? And once you have that, you're in your power.
Yes.
Because right now, you're just bouncing back and forth.
Right. It's I get in it, and then I drop it, and it's...
Right. And you see, that's not a real good resonance to attract money.
Right.
Right, that's part of the past. That's part of the detox.
Right. What I'd like to know, Alexis, is why, when I was able to do this so easily before, why I made it so difficult now.
Well, as one of the things we were saying at the beginning, is that this is the time for the change from the old paradigm to the new.
Mm-hmm.
And you decided to participate in that. And one of the things that you were unwilling, you know, you had a sense of order that was very, very strong about what's right and the way to do things and so on. And all this has to be busted away.
Mm.
And it took something of a personal huge magnitude. And look at also, you had to, you know, get in on the whole collective crash too. So that you could eradicate that kind of stuff and come up creatively and flexibly and create yourself anew.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what you did. You decided to create yourself anew, a person who had a flow about her that was that did not have an attachment to order the way thought she had.
Mm-hmm.
And that order was a protective device. It was a fear-based reality mechanism from way back, way, way back. And so you've have to let go of the order. It's forced you to. It's
right.
Forced you to let go of the old self that you were. Forced
right.
You. Of course, it's not a pleasant experience.
No.
But in a sense, the new you you're going to create is going to have so much more freedom, so much more flexibility, so much more expression of who you really are.
Right.
You see, that it's in. If you look back on this, in a year or two from now, you'll realize, in a weird sense, it was in a way worth it, even though it's a hard way to learn and grow and change. Yes, but in a way, my gosh, look what I was able to do. Look what I had to create such a crash in order to make such a change, you know?
Right, so I guess what I really wanted was dramatic change, and I just wasn't letting myself do that.
You weren't letting yourself do it. You were too attached to a sense of order and the way you had prioritized things and the way you had repressed certain aspects of yourself, or like you said, the creativity in secret, that you didn't really let it shine as much, all that kind of stuff. You tried to be somebody in a way that you weren't. It didn't work for you. That's
right.
Part of the old way.
Right.
It's gone. It's over. You know, and so now you get to not only reinvent yourself from scratch, but you are capable now, with all your gifts, to dream a much bigger dream that you could ever have dreamed 3 or 4 years ago for yourself.
Right.
About who you are.
Right.
All right. So you're changing identity, you're changing image, and it's a huge challenge, but by golly, you decided to do it in a dramatic way, and you certainly did. But when you emerge on the other side, because of your resourcefulness, because of your strengths, you have so much powers and attributes and resources, you know, you're going to be the person that, in a way, you can make this your culminating, can make this your greatest yet. All right?
Okay, I'll hang on to that. I will focus on that and go toward it.
All right. Sounds good, dear one. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
All right, and we wish you the very best.
Thank you, Greg.
Feel free to call on us anytime.
I will.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Farewell to you, dear one.
Bye-bye.
All right. So, who else is willing to speak to us after that? How wondrous that she was willing to open up and let herself be there, vulnerable on the line. Now, we suggest that if you want to call in, to call 877-876-5227, and we can take another caller at this particular time. Very powerful time on the planet. Very big changes. Now, a lot of prophets and pundits who are out there in the ozone and the woo-woo prophesied great floods, earthquakes, drama, and trauma. Well, now, what we're seeing, however, is that what they were visualizing, what they were imagining, were just metaphors for this incredible change of consciousness on the planet. So when you hear people talk about great disasters, you know, don't really take it literally. If you've noticed, most of those people who said, oh, yeah, we'll have a tidal wave, we'll have a swamp here, we'll have earthquakes here, have not been proven right yet. All right, so they won't be. It's a time of just profound and great and deep change. All right, we have another caller. Hello? Hello?
Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Thank you, dear one.
So I do a lot of metaphysical work, but when I was a child and growing up, I came up in a Catholic tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And I did three sacraments, baptism, communion, and confession.
Yes.
I've received some inner guidance that it's possible that in those sacraments that there was some sort of maybe etheric implant or something like that was put in to my field. And I wanted to know if you thought that might be true or if you could talk about that.
Oh, it's definitely true. It's definitely true. You see, when you have enough people over a long enough span of time believing that something is true, it creates a reality of that truth, right? And what the sacraments do and what all three of these rituals, in fact, all three of these have their own particular implants, right? And they basically implant in you a seed or a program, much like a computer program, that activates itself to remind you that you are unworthy and undeserving, that you are sinful, that you're not okay, and that you have to work hard to get God's favor. And it's implanted in there. And what this tends to do is just to add a degree of difficulty to everything in your life. It can sludge things down. It can slow things down. It can make you feel like you're strangely connected to what we call astral forces. These are dark astral forces, forces of evil, you might even say. Some people call them evil, some people call it the devil, depending on what denomination or what, you know, philosophy they have, right?
Uh-huh.
But there is an implant that is done there. We would suggest that you do a vow-breaking ceremony.
Oh, okay, I want to do this.
All right. Now, if you don't know how to do a really good vow-breaking ceremony, we did do a workshop on healing past vows. And in those vows, we actually mentioned specifically that, you know, the vows that were taken over the centuries, many in the Catholic Church, vows of poverty, right? Vows of celibacy. These were taken on by the priesthood, right? These were seen as the foundations of the Church. It was a political move, and it was anchored into behaviors. These vows resonate with most people as they get into a spiritual activity in their life.
The spiritual path, I'm doing now is triggering that.
It triggers it, yes, because it says, okay, spiritual path, trigger. Okay, so you trigger all this stuff from that's plugged into the Catholic Church, because in the naive and ancient way, religion became the substitute for spirituality.
Right.
And that's what most people still think of it as being. If you have a relationship with God, it's obviously got to be through a church or a religion or something. It's not person to person, so to speak. You see? So breaking vows, we would highly recommend. And we would say that when you break these vows, and you do it without any sense of guilt, any anger or judgment at the church, you will be free and you will feel the difference. It will also stop attracting into your energy field those kind of astral entities, which manifest as kind of weird, dark thoughts.
They manifest as what?
they manifest as kind of unusual or weird dark thoughts and feelings.
Dark thoughts?
Mm-hmm. Dark thoughts. You know, thoughts that you think?
Yeah.
Bizarre things can occur to you. One of the things that occurs to you would be, like, for example, you're driving down the street and you come up to a red light. As you sit at the red light, to imagine that suddenly, you know, somebody could drive through the intersection and crash into you.
That happens to me constantly.
All right. Those are astral, that's astral, what you call those, those are astral concepts. Those are astral energies. And these are kind of a, like if you think something long enough or feel something long enough, it becomes its own kind of entity in the astral plane. And sometimes if you're, people who are psychic can see these hanging on people's energy fields. Like we see it hanging on yours. Right? Those came from the Catholic Church.
Wow. I hear you. I really feel that's true. And, you know, it's funny because some family members that I have sponsored some people to become priests, have supported them during their training. And I know these people seem pretty normal to me, and I wonder, are they taught what they're doing? Are they taught to do sort of metaphysical things during the sacraments, or do they even know what they're doing?
They themselves bought into the sacraments. It connected with something deep and profound and on the unconscious level within them. And so they felt motivated, in a sense almost pushed by their own destiny to carry this forward. It's very much like some people find a tradition and follow the tradition. It's like, for example, people who are Jewish who are raised in a kind of home where nobody goes to the synagogue much, but they find tremendous comfort in their adult life going and joining a synagogue and, hello, are you still there? Hello?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
And going to a synagogue getting back to their roots, in a sense, getting back to their tribal roots. It gives them a great sense of identity, a great sense of peace and calm. And we'd suggest that that's part of the reason why many people go into the priesthood or whatever, so that they're looking to have a sense of inner peace and calm. Some of them are very troubled souls, but they find that this, by going into a tradition, and they, in a sense, take the self that was unruly and narrow it and focus it into the tradition, works for them. So they don't really know, in a sense, consciously, they have no clue consciously what they're doing. But what they are doing is that they themselves plugged into that, seeing that that gave them something, gave them a sense of order, a sense of organization of and value system that gave them a sense of peace and control, sense of control over things. They are passing that on.
When they actually give the sacrament, like baptism, they seem to touch either the crown or the third eye.
Yes, they do.
And
basically, when they do that, it's like creating an indenturedness or slavery in a way. It's saying, okay, this belongs to the tradition.
Wow.
You see, it's heavy.
During the communion, they feed you food and drink. Do they do something to that?
Yes, because any time you do it, you are participating in a church ritual that is it's adapted from a shamanic ritual, by the way, which is people don't any longer, you know, cut out the hearts of lions and eat them so for courage, but it was a sense of symbolically taking on the aspects of Jesus. Now, what happens, though, is that the aspects of Jesus that you do take on in the communion and that you accept into yourself is actually determined by the interpretation. So you are imbibing a sense of Jesus that has nothing to do with the true person.
Mm-hmm.
But it has everything to do with the beliefs of the tradition.
Well, to tie it in, I feel like my problems with money really have to do with the concept of sacrifice and the concept of money being separate from God and stuff like that.
Oh, absolutely. That's what most religions do. And they would do it in such a way that they would therefore control their members so that they would get the money from the members and that they would have the control. It was originally done that way. And that was a deliberate, at the beginning, that was a deliberate thing to get power, you see. So, yes, so money and spirituality were separate. We would highly recommend that you might want to also get our workshop CDs on healing your relationship with money. We go specifically into the split between money and spirituality, and then on that CD introduce you to the spirit of money, and that you and the money become allies, you become friends.
I know time's running out, but I feel when I stop to think about the vow breaking, I feel terrible because I feel like it's the only thing that I do have that is like a family or like a belonging.
That's right, and that's how they keep you, because the fear of loneliness and separation and isolation and alienation is the top anxiety producer of anything. That's why excommunication was so fatal, so final. And that the Catholic Church used that for a long time. Anytime you're separated from your quote-unquote community. But you have to understand that it's going to be your choice. Are you going to join the ranks of the light workers, or where are you going to identify? Are you going to identify there, or are you going to find your peace in the tradition of the past? What are you here for on the planet? Your choice. You see?
Right.
So it's up to you.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, and thank you so much, dear one, for calling.
Bye-bye.
All right. Farewell. And thank all of you, both of you who called, for your questions. And we thank all of you who have been listening. And we do wish that you give us a feedback about this show. Write us, go to the GalexisSpirit.com site and email us. Let us know if there's anything you would suggest we do differently on the show, add or subtract anything, or new format, or whatever. We would appreciate your feedback. And we look forward to speaking with you again a couple of weeks from now. The United States will have a new president. We hope that you are ready to go into a new era and ready to come out of that dark chaos. So we say farewell for now, and once again, we'll look forward to speaking with you 2 weeks from this evening on The Path of Power. All right. Farewell, dear ones.